Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist.harrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. You'll find these radio programs and MP3 files under the radio tab. We also have Bible videos, which are 30 minutes in length, on a number of subjects under the special study tab. If you tap it, you'll see Bible videos pop up, and you just tap it and you can see all those videos that are there under alphabetical order by subject matter. Please give them a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We only have one desire, ladies and gentlemen, show your need for God in your life. You have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died that you might have redemption. We have been studying for the past few months the subject of the writing of first of the Apostle Peter. We just concluded 1 Peter 1, 3-7. Today, we're going to begin a different part of our study in looking at 1 Peter 3, 8-22. Now, we're not going to cover all of that in 1 week, but we will begin to examine this text, and we will continue over the next few weeks. Let us begin by reading the text in 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8. It says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and let him pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of that which is good?" Now let us examine these first few verses in verses 8 through verse 13. We see here that we are called to receive a blessing. Christian in this text tells us that we have been called to inherit a blessing. But it's not a blessing that does not come with some terms. Suffering. But what if a Christian suffers in life? Does this negate the goal of his calling? Peter says, and his answer is no. The passage begins with the description of the role of Christians, to do good. It then raises the question of suffering for righteousness when we do good. And finally discusses the suffering of Christ for righteousness and the reward he received, and gives us an example of how we can receive a reward when we suffer for doing that which is right. Now, the beatitude, the point of the text, is best described by the final beatitude that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake," in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Now, in verses 8 through 13, we need to be the men and women who are zealous of good works. Unity of mind. This text speaks of like-mindedness or same-mindedness, to have compassion, brotherly love, tender-hearted, humility. Let us read for just a moment Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul would write, "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we can see in this passage in Philippians 2 that we are to be concerned about others even above ourselves. And in 1 Peter 3, in our text, it tells us in verse 8 that we are to be of one mind. That means we are to have a unity not only of action, but of our thought. And we are to have compassion one for another. We are to have compassion. We are to exhibit, be tender-hearted, and be courteous. To compassion is to understand the needs of another. To be tender-hearted is to be kind, to courteous, not rebellious, not hateful, not being envious, not being jealous. We need to be people, as brethren, that treat one another with tender-heartedness and courteous. We need to be kind to one another. God calls upon this as our relationship in Christ. We are to have this type of character, compassion, brotherly love. We are to love because they belong to the family of God, and we're in the family of God, and we're to have brotherly love one for another. It also says in verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. We are not to be men and women who try to get even, to give them a dose of their own medicine. We've got to not render evil for evil. Let me again read you a Bible definition of what we're talking about in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. It is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We are to overcome evil with good. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, in the great Sermon on the Mount, said in verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Notice that we are to be people that do not return reviling for reviling. We don't try to get even. We don't try to do evil because people do evil to us. We must take a different course. We must pursue a different action. Notice in our text, it says, on the contrary, that means that you don't revile for reviling, and you don't treat evil for evil. In other words, you do something different. What do we do differently? Blessing, knowing that you were called for this, that you might inherit a blessing. You see, we're going to inherit a blessing only if we do good instead of doing evil. We overcome evil with good. That's what we read in Romans 12, 17 through 21. We are to render good, not evil. We're called upon that we might do good in order that we might inherit a blessing. And we overcome evil by doing good. That's God's way. That's the biblical way. That's the right way. And that's the way that we will bless our relationship with God and how we bless others. It goes on in verse 10 to say, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Christians have been called by the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 and 14, we are to walk worthy of the calling that we've been called, Ephesians 4 and verse 1. And we are to walk worthy of the gospel, according to Philippians 1 and verse 27. And when we do that, we have been called to inherit a blessing. Read Galatians chapter 3, 6 through 8, and verse 26 through 29. We need to have the attitude, notice in verse 10, if we would love life, if we would see good days, if our lives would be filled with joy, we must refrain our tongue from speaking evil. In James chapter 1, in verse number 26, the scripture says, if anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is vain. We've got to calm our tongue. We have to put it in subjection. Read James chapter 3, 5 through 10. The tongue's a little member, but it can get us in a lot of trouble. It can do a lot of harm. It can cut very deeply. And so we must learn to refrain our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking deceit. We must speak what is true. We must speak what is honorable. And verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are opening to their prayers. And the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Our Lord's eyes and ears are open to the righteous, to those who are his children, to those who walk according to his commandments and his precepts, those who follow his teaching. And his ears are open to our prayers. And his eyes are open to us to see the things that we need and to do the things that we need. But notice it says the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God's not going to bless evil. He's not going to bless evil conduct. He's not going to bless his children if they do things that are evil and unrighteous. We must do things in an honorable and upright way that's in accordance with God's will and not man's. And we must do things by God's standards and not man's. And look at verse 13. "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" Who is going to harm us if we do what is right? Who's going to harm us if we treat people fairly, justly, and we treat them as we would want to be treated, as we read in Matthew 7 and verse 4? The answer, of course, is evildoers and ungodly men. Even when we treat people righteously and we treat people honorably, evil men will mistreat us. But I want to remind you of a passage that we read earlier in Romans 12. In verse 18, it says, "As much as lies within you and depends on you, live peaceably with all men. In every fiber of my being, I must strive to live at peace with men." Now, that doesn't mean that men will live at peace with me. That doesn't mean that they'll make it easy for me to live with peace with them. But it's not dependent upon them. It's dependent upon me. What I've tried to tell people over the years is that we need to understand that I or you cannot control the actions and how someone else is going to treat you, but how you react to that treatment, what you do in response to that treatment, you have full control over that. And I tell people all the time that I can't choose and I can't determine how people are going to react or how people are going to treat me. But how I treat them has been determined a long time ago. God told me to treat people with love, with compassion, with long-suffering, with patience, with kindness, and to overcome evil with good. And by doing that, I will get better results. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in bringing this to a close this morning, we need to understand that we need to be zealous of good works. And we do that by taking God's course of action and not the world. What do you do when people mistreat you, talk bad about you, do evil things, or say evil about you? Do you try to get even? Do you find a way to try to give them a dose of their own medicine? If you do, you're going to find out it doesn't work. We need to overcome good with evil. And we need to remember who will harm us if we become followers of what is good. God is going to be pleased, and in the long run, we're going to be blessed. Let us follow the course that brings the best results here and guarantees us a home with our Savior in the end. Which will it be? Will we be zealous of good works, and will we overcome evil by being good? Thank you for listening.